Welcome to this, the One White Woman podcast. My name is Nene White, and even though my white privilege has diverted my attention away from the rights and concerns of Black people in America, those days are gone. I am here now to notice, to learn, to root out and stare down my biases, to participate in constructive actions on behalf of Black people, and hopefully to share this learning journey with you. In the previous episode, I went into a few details about the era of Jim Crow and the laws that were passed during that time frame. In this episode, I will try to start answering questions about why such a large number of Black people in the United States have remained behind the curve in education, employment, home ownership, and income. Why they've had to push against so many more disadvantages, so much lack of privileges than we whites have. It's all about the laws, which are all about local, state, and federal representation. So why haven't Black people voted for individuals who would better serve and represent their rights and best interests? Two words: voter suppression. You know, I'm sure, that Martin Luther King Jr. and John Lewis and many others, Black and white, put themselves in dangerous situations, commonly marked by violence and time in jail, to increase awareness about the fact that voting rights, especially in the southern states, were very purposely designed to suppress Black and minority votes. Were you around to watch the news 55, 56, 57 years ago when Black Americans were beaten and hosed and jailed for affirming their rights, including equal access to the voting polls? Those were incredibly harsh times, really hard to watch, and I rarely did, I'm not proud to tell you. But they led to an important event, the 1965 signing of the Voting Rights Act by Lyndon Johnson, our 37th president. That law made nearly all voter suppression tactics illegal across the country. And when Congress enacted the Voting Rights Act, it did so for the following reasons. In their own words, they said it was to address entrenched racial discrimination in voting and insidious and pervasive evil which has been perpetuated in certain parts of our country through unremitting and ingenious defiance of the Constitution. Those are not my words. They're so emotional, you might think so, but those are in the official record, which proclaims why Congress saw fit to pass the Voting Rights Act. And wouldn't it be great if that was the end of that problem so we could move on as a country, focusing our attention on any of the other countless challenges that we've got? But no, those people who were dead set on voter suppression had their eyes on Sections 5 and 4B of the Voting Rights Act. The legalese language in the official document is dense, and it took me a while to untangle it, but I think I've got it here for you. The intent and purpose of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act was to allow any changes to voting procedures, was to disallow any changes to voting procedures unless and until those new procedures were determined by the Justice Department or a federal court in Washington, D.C., to have no discriminatory purposes or effects. So in other words, if a state wanted to make some changes to how people could register or where they could vote or what the rules were for them getting to vote, they had to take those new ideas and new suggestions for changes to the Justice Department or the federal court in Washington, D.C., So that sounds really good, right? And it was. It really, really was. Black registration rates in the former Confederate states, you know, those deep South states, rebounded from 30 percentage points below white registration rates in 1960 to equal or greater than white registration rates in 2010. And black turnout in elections were following a similar positive pattern. So the results were incredible. In 1965, there were only 5 African Americans in the United States House and the U.S. Senate combined. Today, there are 48, and across all state and local offices, the change is even more incredible. Since 1965, African Americans went from holding fewer than 1,000 offices nationwide to now holding over 10,000. So what is the problem? Section 4B of the Voting Rights Act is the problem. On June 25th, 2013, the United States Supreme Court decided that it is unconstitutional to continue forcing, that's their word, forcing states to submit possible changes to their voting rules for approval by the Justice Department. The Supreme Court did not rule on the constitutionality of Section 5 itself. Instead, the Supreme Court's decision determined that states no longer needed to get approval from the Justice Department when they wanted to create new voting rules. I've changed the wording, but basically that's the gist of it. So what's the actual situation in this with liberty and justice for all country of ours since 5 of the 9 Supreme Court justices made this decision? Maybe, like me, you've heard about it on your car radio. Like when I was running errands, I would hear about it. But nothing quite stuck in my mind, especially because I'm in California. And most fortunately, a lot of these concerns do not directly affect our California population. But 21 other states, 21 other states do have new voting restrictions, including strict voter ID requirements, no online voter registration, no pre-registration for teens about to turn 18, and serious cutbacks to Sunday and early morning voting for low-income workers. One of the craziest rules is that if you have a gun license, then that's good enough ID to get registered to vote. But if you have a school ID, that's not good enough to get registered to vote in some states. Now, which political party do you suppose that decision leans towards? I'm not saying anything. If you're familiar with the names of U.S. Supreme Court judges, you can probably guess who voted for this change. Chief Justice John Roberts, along with Justices Antonin Scalia, Anthony Kennedy, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito. To assert that this decision was not a political decision would be wandering, I really feel, too far from the truth of the matter, especially when we learn who was against this destructive change. Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of course, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. In their dissenting opinion, these justices acknowledged that suppression of registration and voting had definitely decreased, which is one of the reasons that the other side said it wasn't needed anymore. But they said that since the Voting Rights Act became the law, throwing out Section 5 when it had worked so well was like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you're not getting wet. Why have I gone into all these details? For a very serious reason. And we need to be all aware of this and see where we can be putting our efforts and attention. This November will be the first presidential election in 50 years without the full protections of the Voting Rights Act. In other words, many voters can and will be suppressed. I guess I should apologize for getting so political, especially because being so political is the last direction I ever thought I'd be focusing my attention on in such a concentrated way. But I understand now that discrimination and oppression are enabled by politicians. Politicians who have the power to make laws that, if we're not paying attention, can do extreme harm. And for what? For whose benefit? And is there really any benefit at all? That's the part that I don't understand. But I guess that's because I don't relate, and I assume you don't either, to hate and oppression and keeping other people down. Anyway, in the next episode, I'll share with you what I'm learning about the upcoming election and a new Voting Rights Act that Democrats are supporting, initially called the Voting Rights Advancement Act, but recently renamed the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, because, as I trust you know, that good man, John Lewis, dedicated his entire life in the most admirable ways to equality and justice for all. If you want to be in touch, please join the Refuse Racism Facebook page. And if you have questions or suggestions, please do share them. I would really love to hear from you. Also, as I'm sure you know, your rating and comments mean a lot, and they really do help. All right, until next time, thank you.